Three passages, three short passages. The first one you'll find is in Matthew chapter 9, please. Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 1. We're talking about the Lord Jesus here. And he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore do you think evil in your hearts? For whether it is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and walk, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, then said he to the sick of the palsy, Arise, take up thy bed, and go into thine house. And he arose and departed to his house. But when the multitude saw, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. Turn over, please, to Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2 and verse 1 again. And he, this is the Lord Jesus, entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was not room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached a word unto them. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come near unto him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning within their hearts, Why does this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise, take up thy bed and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up his bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw it in this fashion. Our final reading is on Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5 and verse 17. And it came to pass on a certain day as Jesus was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed. Let me read that again. And behold, men brought in a bed, a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before Jesus. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in, because of the multitude, they went up upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this that speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? When Jesus had perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, Why reason ye in your hearts? Whether is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, and take up thy couch, and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them and took up that whereon they lay and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. We know the Lord will bless the reading of his word. Now, I knew I was going to be speaking tonight. And as you know, I live down in Kirkconnell, and we are blessed with having many strange and wonderful inhabitants down in Kirkconnell. So a couple of weeks ago, I was out walking the dogs, and I saw a man walking from Kelholm through to Kirkconnell, and he had a very strange burden. He was carrying a bed on his head. Not just a single mattress, but he was carrying a double mattress on his head, walking between Kelholm and Kirkconnell. And I thought, well, I've seen most things now. They would do have some friends down there that if they watch something on the telly, they'll buy all the gear and dress up, and we've seen an odd Anglo-Saxon with his sword and shield walking around. But this one really got me. This man, and he wasn't that big. Not that that made any difference, obviously. He wasn't that big. And he was wrestling with this double mattress walking from Kelholm to Kirkconnell. And it just put me in mind of this story here. This man, and you would have seen this man, he had been walking to his house. He was carried by his friends, four friends. He was carried to the Lord Jesus. He was cleansed. His sins were forgiven. And he's walking home. And he would have had his bed on his head. And I just couldn't help but put the two together. I say, we do live in a wonderful place called Kirkconnell. If you ever want to come and see some of the citizens there, I'll introduce you. So that's the introduction to here. Why is Robert Gray in this story? Because Robert, you've been talking about things that are lost. You talked about the Son of Man coming to seek and to save that which was lost. You've come and you've talked about the one sheep that was lost, and the good shepherd was going to find the sheep, search diligently until he'd find it. You were on that theme, and you've gone off track. But if anybody knows me, I'm quite easy to go off track or off on a tangent. So what I was thinking as well in relation to this wonderful passage here, or passages, obviously Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John were there, but only Matthew, Mark, and Luke read about this story. And if you had been listening, you would have noticed a few wee slight changes to the story when Matthew wrote it, when Mark wrote it, and when Luke wrote it. And I thought myself, right, I'm really struck with this story, but I wonder what I'm going to tell the folk. And I thought, right, I could look at the fact that they had friends who were anxious to get him to the Lord Jesus. These friends, they weren't embarrassed of their friend who could do nothing, and they were determined to get this man before the Lord Jesus. And they searched diligently how they're going to get him in, and that would have been a nice story. And then I thought, well, somebody's away for water there. That's fine. Don't want anybody expiring on my behalf. There's water coming, my dear. No, you're fine. You're totally fine. I'll drink some in sympathy with you too. So I thought it'd be quite nicely studied to do that, but I'm not going to do that. I thought we could have looked at the four questions that Luke wrote, and he said the Pharisees and the scribes, who are they? These are the religious people who had the Old Testament, the old 39 books, and they read it every day. And to be a Pharisee, you had to know it inside out. So they knew that someone was coming. They knew that the Messiah was coming, and they knew that he would do all sorts of miracles. And they had two questions. This man speaks blasphemy. Who can forgive sins but God alone? And the Lord Jesus asked two questions. Why reason ye in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say thy sins be forgiven or to say rise up and walk? But the more I thought about it, the more I'm not going to do that. So what I want to talk about this afternoon is quite simple. Is what the Lord Jesus said. Now, usually if you would write a letter to somebody, there's usually a reason for writing a letter to somebody. You're writing to see how they are. You're writing to see how they get on, or email, or Facebook, or these modern communications that I'm still learning about. You know, you're writing for a purpose. So what was the purpose of the Lord Jesus Christ in this house. What was the purpose of the Lord Jesus Christ saying this three times? And what did he say three times? That, but that ye may know the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Now, before that, I want to ask you a question that the Pharisees asked. And they said this, who can forgive sins but God alone? Who can forgive sins? Can a man forgive sins? Can a woman forgive sins? Can the Pharisees forgive sins? Can the scribes forgive sins? These men here that asked this question knew one thing, that only God could forgive sins. Only God in heaven can forgive sins. Because maybe you've forgotten about this. Maybe you've forgotten about this. But all sin is primarily against God. If Tom Kelly and I fall out and we say things we shouldn't say and do things to each other we shouldn't do and all the rest, not that we would do that because we love each other as brothers in the Lord, but if we did, primarily that sin is against each other, but that sin is against the Holy God. And one day, maybe sooner than what we think, we are going to stand before a holy and an awesome God. And I remember reading about a very pompous prime minister, not the latest one, but a previous one. I remember reading about a very pompous prime minister, and he said, one day whenever I stand before God, I'm going to tell God why I did all these things. And I'm going to justify myself before God. And I didn't know very much of my Bible at the time, but I know this much. That in that day we stand before the awesome triune God, where those uncreated beings go around the throne and they cry, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. In that day, you know what the Bible says? That every mouth will be stopped. Every tongue will be silent. And the whole world guilty before this awesome triune holy God. And one day we're going to stand before him. And one day we are going to be judged. And what we have done with the Lord Jesus Christ is going to determine where we are going for all eternity. Because death and hell is not the end. Death and hell is not the end. One day death and hell will empty itself. And all the inhabitants of death and hell will stand before an awesome holy God. That place of holiness. That God in heaven would write in the Old Testament, if thou, O Lord, marked iniquity, who among us would stand? Who could stand before a holy, awesome God? That he hates sin. The very thought of sin. The very thought of sin in your heart and mine, he hates it. The very sin that he poured on the Lord Jesus Christ on our behalf. God hated that sin. And God does hate sin. And it's that sin that separates us. It's that sin that's going to take us into eternity. It's that sin that's going to separate us between God and heaven. And it's that sin that's going to land us in the lake of fire. And here's these scribes and here's these Pharisees. Oh, they knew the Old Testament better than I know it. They knew it better than you know it. No disrespect to whoever you are. These men knew and they said, who can forgive sins? But God alone. Who can forgive sins? So the scribes and the Pharisees, yes, they're sitting there all pompous. Yes, they're trying to trip the Lord Jesus up. Yes, they're trying to make burdens for ordinary men and women that they can't bear. The Lord Jesus Christ would look at these people. I don't know, maybe you're one of these people. I have no idea. But the Lord Jesus would look at these self-righteous people. These people who went to church. These people who said all the right things. Did all the right things, give the alms to the poor and all the rest of it. And the Lord Jesus looked at them, ladies and gentlemen. The Lord Jesus looked at them and he says, outwardly, they're like whited sepulchres. They look good. They look magnificent. But inwardly, they're full of dead men's bones. That was the Lord Jesus Christ's assessment of these people. And here they're sitting, you can just picture them sitting here, maybe strumming their hand like this here. This man speaks blasphemy. This man, and depend on your version of the Bible, but and I think it's in Mark, it says, this speaks blasphemy. The Lord Jesus Christ wasn't even been credited with being a man. But they said, this man speaks blasphemies. Who can forgive sins? Who can forgive sins? Wouldn't it be a great meeting if we worked out in our heads, who can forgive sins? Who can forgive my sins? Who can forgive your sins? And that's really what I want to look at today. Who can forgive sins? Now, these men knew what sin was. They knew that sin was breaking God's law. And they could have the Ten Commandments. And do you remember the Lord Jesus Christ? He met this young ruler. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he was walking along. And this rich young ruler came running and fell down on his knees before the Lord Jesus and said, "Good master, what good thing can I do to inherit eternal life?" And the Lord Jesus says, "There's none good but God. Only God is good. I'm not good. No disrespect, you're not good. There's only one good, and that is God." And the Lord Jesus says, "You know the commandments. Do not kill, do not steal, do not commit." And he said, the young man said to the Lord Jesus, "I've kept all these from I've been a boy. From my youth up, I have kept all these things." And it says the Lord Jesus looked on that young man, and he loved that young man. And he says, "One thing thou lackest. Sell all you have, give to the poor, and come, take up the cross and follow me." What's it say? The young man went away grieved, for he had great possessions. The Lord Jesus wasn't interested in his possessions, but his possessions were going to keep him out of heaven. His possessions were going to take him into eternity, to the wrong place called hell and the lake of fire. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Oh yes, these Pharisees would acknowledge there's a God up in heaven. Yes, they would live without God. Yes, they would tell you all about God, but they had no living relationship with God. And ladies and gentlemen, we could never know. You and I could never, ever know what God was like if Jesus Christ hadn't come. You and I are Gentiles unless, I don't know if any Jewish folks in here, so if you are, I do apologize. We are Gentiles. We are out with God's blessing. We are out with the covenant that God made with Abraham and the children of Israel. And we are without God and without hope in the world. That's what the Bible sums us up. And we have no claim on God's mercy. We have got no claim on God's love. We have got no claim on anything that God in heaven would choose to give us. But in his mercy and in his grace, he sent his son. And the Lord Jesus would say to the people, "When you have seen me, you have seen the Father. When you have seen me, you have seen the Father." How does God love the outcast? Oh, he loves him. How does God love the sinner that's seeking? He loves him. How does the Lord Jesus deal with these people? He deals them with tenderness and love and compassion, but never at the expense of truth. Who can forgive sins but God only? There's only one can forgive sins. Now you would say, what is sin? Well, that's a big question, and we're not going to have time to do it this afternoon. But sin is basically against God. The Bible tells us, now some people might find this unpalatable, but this is what the Bible says. There's a man said he was born in sin and shapen in iniquity. The Bible tells us we are dead in trespasses, that's broken laws, and sins. The Bible looks upon us as hopeless and helpless and on the way to a lost eternity. Because we're born in sin, because we are sinners, because we do sin, and we will sin, and we'll continually sin, because it's our nature. You know if you have a children or grandchildren or friends or neighbors, you know if you tell a child don't do it, that's the first thing they'll do. Don't go too near the fire. And then the next thing, "Oh, burnt my hand," and all the rest of it. They've been disobedient. The Bible says we are disobedient. The Bible says we're sinners. We're full of sin. And here's these pompous religious people, and they're saying, who can forgive sins? Who can forgive sins? What's the importance of getting our sins forgiven? What's the importance of getting right with God? Because one day, this little life, you look back over your life, and I look back over my little life, and you think, I remember one time when anybody 40 was over the hill. And I remember thinking, boys, anybody over 50, well, it's downhill on a skateboard. It's I'm not telling you what age I am, but I haven't got to 60 yet, but I'm heading that road. But what I'm saying to you is, time is flying by. And as you look over your little life and think of what you've done and who all you've met, and you think that the time that you went to Sunday school or you went to a Bible class and you heard the wonderful gospel message, you heard that Jesus loves you, you heard that Jesus Christ died for you, you heard that on the cross, all your sins, the Lord Jesus Christ took on his own body, and he suffered, and he bled, and he died for you, and he was buried, and he rose again, and he's able to save you from your sins. You heard all that when you were growing up, and you've turned away from it. You've heard all that when you were growing up, and it was a sweet story. It might even have moved you to tears. That God in heaven loves me. That Christ has died for me. Went into death itself to save me from going to a lost eternity. And maybe one time it moved you. And it mightn't move you now. It might mean nothing to you. And that those times that you could have had your sins forgiven. And you've lived another 5 years. Another 10 years, another 20 years, another 30 years. And think of all the lies you've told. Think of all the bad thoughts that you've said. Think of all the bad words that you've said. And what you'd like to do to some people as well. All those sins that are separating between you and the Holy God. One sin keeps us out of heaven. One sin takes us to that hell and the lake of fire. And here's these pompous, self-righteous people. And they're asking a very good question. Who can forgive sins but God only? And the Lord Jesus said, is it easier for me to say, thy sins be forgiven, or to take up thy bed and walk? And I want you to get this, ladies and gentlemen. But that ye may know. Oh yes, it's possible to know your sins forgiven. It's possible to get right with God this afternoon. It's possible to be born again in this little room. I can't remember whether it was Luke or Mark wrote, the power of God was in the room to heal the people. And we believe when we've got a gospel meeting, when we believe that we're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, when we're talking about sin, when we're talking about the Savior of sinners, that the Lord Jesus Christ is able to save. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God in heaven could save a wretch like you in this little room? Do you believe that God in heaven can speak to your heart this afternoon, can convict you of your sin this afternoon, can bring you to the cross to consider again what you've learned so long ago, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and he's able to save? That's the gospel message. Who can forgive sins? And the Lord Jesus says, but that ye may know. If I asked you going out the door, are you certain you're going to heaven? And you could answer like what I answered a long time ago, was probably Joyce's age or younger. Well, not like point folk out in the meeting, sorry. But you know, you would say, I remember a man, and see over in Northern Ireland, you didn't get off light in a gospel meeting. There's some scary preachers there. And then when you went out the door, you were sort of hoping he wasn't going to look at you. And then he gripped you by the hand. Young man, are you saved? I don't know. Well, he says, you need to know. You need to know you're forgiven, son. And I scuttled out into the car and away home. I was scared, stupid of the man. I wasn't scared of God, but I was scared of the man. But the Lord Jesus says here, but that ye may know. May know what? That the Son of Man, who's that? That's the Lord Jesus, has power. We know that. We know the miracles he did. We know the wonderful things that he did. He could call Lazarus dead 4 days. Lazarus come forth. And he who had been dead 4 days, burying in the grave clothes, came forth. Loose him and let him go. The Lord Jesus has power. And we know the miracles that he did. He would look in that storm. Those hardened fishermen, who have seen many a storm, and the boat's full of water, and they say, Lord, don't you care, we're going to perish. And he would stand, and he would say to the storm, peace, be still. And immediately, there was a great calm. Oh, yes, the Lord Jesus has power, but that's good, but it's not enough for you.
and it's not enough for your sins that the Lord Jesus has power.
What's it say here? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. To forgive sins. And that's what we need, ladies and gentlemen. We need our sins forgiven. We need to get right with God. And not only, there's a two wee words there. You may have picked up or you may not. I've only seen one person sleeping this afternoon, so that's a plus, I suppose. It says here, but that ye may know the Son of Man hath power on earth. On earth to forgive sins. If you live and die as you are, and you go into eternity, you're not going to get saved. If you live and die in your sins, and you go into eternity, and say, well, God, look at my good works against my bad works, you're not getting to heaven. You're going to hell in the lake of fire, my friends. That's why we're in earnest about this. But it says here, that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. And how is he that authority? How is the Lord Jesus that authority? Because the Lord Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago went to the cross and he paid the price for sin. He paid the price for my sins. And when I was 13 years old, I realized I was going to hell. I realized I couldn't do anything to save myself. I believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and he forgave me of my sins. And my friends, you need that experience. You can call it born again. You can call it trusting. You can call it repenting. You can call it coming as you are. But whatever you do, my friends, you need to have your sins forgiven. If you forget everything else I've said, who can forgive sins? That ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth. Don't leave it too late to forgive sins. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God and were filled with fear and said, we have seen strange things today. Sin that separates, sin that takes us away from family, that separates us in death. The wages of sin is death. Who can forgive sin? The Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. He has paid for my sins. He has paid for your sins. You need to get that for yourself. You need to come as you are and confess before God. You can't do anything. You can't be anything. You can't give anything. But you need mercy. And our God is a God of mercy. Our God is a God of grace and justice and compassion. And my Bible tells me he's able to save. He's able to save those that come to God through the Lord Jesus because he lives. And we have a living Savior. And as we said in the open street, he could be your Savior today. But if you leave it too late, and the coming day he could be your judge. So my advice is, who can forgive sin? The Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. And if you have sins, and the Bible says you do, but if you acknowledge you have sins and you want those sins forgiven, they can be cleansed and forgiven this afternoon. There was power in the house to heal, and there's power in the house to save if you repent and trust in our Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Our Father, we rejoice in the gospel. We're not ashamed of it. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. We bless thee, Father, for the work that Christ did on the cross. We bless thee, Father, that all our sins were laid upon him. Jesus bore them on the tree. God, who knew them, laid them on him. And believing, we can go free. We pray, Father, to bless every soul in this little room. Those of us who love the Savior, help us to love him and serve him better. And those who have never come into a living relationship, never been born again, never confessed their sins and believe in the Lord Jesus, we pray they'll have grace and strength to do it even today, even tonight, even this afternoon, even now. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We bless thee, Father, there's rest and mercy and forgiveness with the Saviour. For those who come as they are, and believe they'll have everlasting life. So we pray a parting blessing in our Saviour's precious.